Ladies and gentlemen, make sure you are following us on Apple Podcasts and Spotify.
Give us a 5-star rating. It massively helps us out. Enjoy.
Ladies and gentlemen, I'm delighted to bring you another episode of Pitchside, joined by the brilliant Mr. Theo Baker. Wait. And the first time guest appearance for Rory. How are you, mate?
I'm very good, thank you.
The reason why I'm delighted, of course, is because we are... Sorry to push the Arsenal agenda bias already, but we are the best team in the league by a...
No, you're wrong.
Mile.
You're actually wrong. You're wrong.
Go on.
Best team in the world.
Oh, yeah.
Best team in the goddamn world, sir!
People complain on this show that we get too many Arsenal fans on too regularly. So, another one.
Come
on. What are you talking about?
What are you meant to do?
Shall we address the London derby, by the way? The North London...
No.
Okay. No. Let's move on then.
Guys, I know I called it from the start, and first game in that Arsenal win the league. And look, I know it's probably going to happen now. I just want to, let's not get too ahead of ourselves here.
No.
I'm going to backtrack a little bit. There is 20 games left, and I sort of didn't realise that. I thought we was like 10 games left.
Yeah, we haven't even played half of our season.
We quite literally have not played half the season, but we are 8 points clear.
We are eight points clear.
2-0, domination, thoughts?
Do you know what? I honestly think Tottenham threw it. We played well, don't get me wrong. I don't understand how Conte doesn't get more abuse.
I've
heard since is Levy out, Enoch out, the ownership. Shocking from Conte. Genuinely, sackable performance from Conte. This is the way I see it. Spurs turned up at the Emirates, October, got battered. No midfield battle. Fullbacks got exposed in a 5-back. And they turned up yesterday, did exactly the same thing.
Yeah,
literally exactly the same thing. Even the goals were almost identical. Partey had the freedom of North London in the first game, scored outside the box. Ødegaard did the same yesterday.
Imagine if he scored it. But Partey's got robbed of a Puskás goal-winning goal.
Yeah.
Goal-winning goal.
It's guys, very similar to Payet's, wasn't it, in the sense of...
Yeah, it came down from so far. Guys, I actually watched the game.
Congratulations.
I know. I actually thought Spurs... had a lot of chances. I think Ramsdale's XG save was 2.4.
Yeah.
Which is quite high. Ramsdale was quality.
No. Spurs only amassed 1.6 in the whole game.
Oh, but his save XG was 2.4. Like, he should have conceded 2.4. It was slightly different, I think. Or at some point. It was something like that. Basically, he was amazing. Spurs should have scored. But saying that, Arsenal actually they walked them off the park. I don't think Spurs got...
It was very much a game of two halves, though, wasn't it?
Arsenal actually battered them.
Yeah, but the first half, we'd already won the game.
Yeah.
That was the worst Spurs performance, or at least in terms of desire and heart, that I've ever seen in a North London derby in the whole time I've supported Arsenal, I think.
I think that's the thing you can't forgive. If you're a Tottenham fan, when we went away last year, we got beaten.
Yeah.
It was almost like we were two up for it. Holding lost his head.
Yeah, yeah.
Cedric gave that foul away. Yesterday, it was there was nothing from Tottenham.
You know, that's the first time Arsenal have won at Spurs, whether it be White Hart Lane or anything, in 8 years since 2014.
It's
a big statement. They went 2-0 up and they held out for the result. Arsenal are now holding out wins. They're getting in win position, winning position, and not bottling it, which we're so notorious at doing.
Yeah.
I thought we tend to do a lot this season, right? We blast them off the park in the first half and then consolidate in the second.
Yeah.
We've actually got the defence that can do that.
Very Palace-esque in terms of the first 25 minutes we were electric. Kind of slows down after that, but if you can... remain solid for the entire rest of the game, then we don't rarely come away with...
I'm pretty sure we've scored 18 out of 18 matches in the first half.
Yeah.
We've scored.
Yeah.
So we start strong and we hold out games.
But conversely, Spurs have a real problem of scoring goals first. I think they go behind so frequently. I don't know the exact number, but... I keep seeing stats every single time.
Yeah,
they're getting points from losing position.
The first time they'd scored last week, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was the first time they'd scored first.
Yeah.
But it's so weird because Kane's literally having the season of his life, but the rest of the squad is actually awful.
Yeah, yeah.
And let's get this, man. Go on.
Should I take Flores when I can?
Yeah.
Don't get me wrong. Great shot stopper. I think he's had a great career.
Clearly not.
But... it wasn't a shot.
It was going off target and he put it on target.
Yeah. Hugo Lloris should not, in my opinion, be starting games for Tottenham Hotspur.
No, I agree.
Hey, if your goalkeeper is so susceptible to clangers every week, it's a true fact. 2-0 against Villa. First goal changed the game, Buendia. It's his error. But rebounded off him. Watkins recycled and then they scored. And then... our pressure wasn't going necessarily anywhere until Lloris.
You know, with Lloris,
that's just completely different game. For like, that OG, that doesn't go in. We have to fight and fight and fight, and then Spurs on the counter. That's how they play.
So
us getting the first goal was imperative to us winning that game.
Lloris, all he has to do to prevent that goal from going in, yeah, the first one, is just like not touch it.
Almost, yeah.
No, it's not going in.
Yeah, of course. But the deflection of Sessegnon, you'd say it's a little bit unfortunate because he's like kind of going too far across to...
But it's one thing after another with Ugo, isn't it?
Yeah. But it's far too... It's like way too beyond coincidence now to...
I think it's reactions and age. Like, all he has to do is just twist his body. Like, he just has to deflect it. Yeah. He doesn't have to catch it.
How old is he?
He's old.
So do you think Spurs should be in the market for a keeper to start pushing for that number one spot?
They have to be. And he just looks like mentally done as well. When he conceded that goal, he looks tired apart from that. He looked like he was hungover. But also he's just like he was walking away from the goal just like,
yeah,
merde. Like, he doesn't even know what to...
He's won the World Cup. He's just lost a World Cup final. You could be saying, like, he's probably ready for a new chapter in his life, so to speak.
He's 36.
He's 30. There you go.
Yeah. I don't want to cast too much harshness.
No,
he's had a great career.
He has.
But it's waning now.
Yeah. Do you drop him?
I think he's a Premier League keeper.
Huh? Fraser Foster's the second keeper. Do you drop him for Foster?
Foster's not
Premier League.
I know he's a Premier League keeper.
I'd give him a chance. Fraser Foster's proved in Southampton periods that he's actually a very good goalkeeper.
Yeah.
So why not? And certainly he's better with the ball at his feet than Lloris is. He looks so uncomfortable every time the ball comes back to him.
Going back to the other end of the pitch, Aaron Ramsdale.
Yeah, what player? Taylor two keepers, really, wasn't it? That entire game was a Taylor two
keeper. He was so good. Yeah. And give us a stat about him.
He is the fourth best keeper in terms of XG prevented this season.
Who's he just overtaken?
He's just overtaken Nick Pope.
God damn it.
Come on.
Oh, that's unfortunate. I think he's genuinely had a worse season this season than last season. Like, throughout the season, I've been thinking...
Because he's had to do less.
Yeah. He's made a couple of mistakes.
Yeah.
But yesterday, to turn up away North London derby and put in your best performance...
Big save. Some big
like
saves.
Like, a 24-year-old to do that, giving it to the fans at the end.
Yeah.
But also, I know he's a big shithouse and we love him for it, but he is actually so mature.
At the
end of the game, when Richarlison quite literally punched him in the face... Could have been killed. It didn't react.
It wasn't even a punch though. It was a little sort of scratch.
It was classic Richarlison. Trying to get something out of a player. Post-match, like, mate, you've just lost 2-0. Get over yourself. Yeah. Like, fucking loser. And then he's gone to get his water bottle, ignored Richarlison, picked up his water bottle and got kicked by this just disgraceful loser who has no life and actually should be banned from every football match for the rest of it. If they find him, but it's classic Spurs. They just can't even find anyone. They've got a bottle job
right behind the goal.
Yeah, but they'll bottle job it. They do everything. They bottle job everything. How the hell can we find this man?
I'd also like to address the brilliance of Mikel Arteta's management during that. Because you see, everyone's like walking back and Xhaka goes flying back into the chaos and he's like,
He thought Xhaka was going to go actually kick things off, but actually Xhaka was going to collect his players.
Yeah, I think
Xhaka pushed Arteta away and went to go collect the players. So he's actually again showing maturity.
Arteta, you see the four pictures. Smiling, walking away with Ramsdale, and then as Xhaka goes faster, chases after
him. They're just running off the pitch. Get out of here, quick! Yeah. You don't want them pesky, dangerous Spurs fans kicking you in the back again, do you?
Yeah,
fucking losers.
Poor from them.
Yeah, they are a bunch of losers, to be honest.
How impressive was it to finally see Martinelli bringing out his Brazilian side, by the way?
The back.
Yeah,
I love it.
Rattled Romero, by the way.
Absolutely.
He was so angry
by that as well.
Also, Romero, it's so lucky to be on the
pitch. Yeah,
how that man did not get sent off, I do not know.
Five bookable offences.
It was a North London derby tax there, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Like, it's a massive derby game, I'll let him get away with it.
But then
I'll get away with it again. And
then, true.
Did you see Richarlison, Blanken, Martinelli at the corner flag as well?
Yeah, he apologised for that as well.
Yeah.
And also he smacked Tommy Ashley when they were both subs as well.
Yeah.
I think he genuinely is like therapy. I think he's got...
It's not from the cameras from Richarlison. It's just from the cameras. But he wants the fans to love him and stuff like that.
It's just too passionate. Sometimes it's like, bro.
Yeah. I think it's forced it me. I think it's forced.
It's main character energy, isn't it?
Yeah.
Like, no one cares about
literally.
How you do it.
But I would like him on our team. Do you know what I mean? No, you want him on your team to be the shithouse.
I don't think he is. I don't think, like,
if you're a shithouse, you'll be good.
The way Ramsdale does it, where it's inoffensive, but you know it's going to wind people up. Like, there's nothing wrong with turning around kissing the badge. There's nothing offensive about it, but it winds them up. I think he's got that nailed. I think Richarlison's
winds himself up. Do you think he winds himself up?
Himself.
Yeah, he winds up.
He's just a passion merchant. He relies on that together.
We enjoyed Martin Lee throwing the flag, throwing the Arsenal.
Oh, the second attempt, the scarf.
Gary Neville obviously came out and said after the game, he thinks Arsenal will not win the league and City United will finish above him. He then went on to say he thinks Arsenal will not win the league, but he also said that about Leicester.
Yeah.
And he'd rather Arsenal win the league than City. But he thinks actually Arsenal will finish third.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Thoughts?
Clicks and views.
Yeah.
That's all he's done it for. Arsenal fans think he's got an agenda and he's feeding into it. Like, that clip had done over a million views on TikTok within an hour, I think.
But you're not rattled about it.
Oh, I am rattled back. So rattled. I couldn't even film a response to it.
Gary, if you're watching.
Yeah, Gary, if you're watching, mate, weapon.
Yeah, absolute weapon. Come on pitch side, discuss your Arsenal.
Come on, please.
But if you do want me on Sky Sports, then I am available most weekends.
But every week he says Arsenal are brilliant. In his little Mancunian.
He does actually secretly love Arsenal.
So I think it's just a closet. But
in the build up, you know, he tries saying things that will be like, oh, this is the week that 20 minutes into the game yesterday, it was fully like, oh, Tottenham will be happy if they get in at 3-0. And it was just rinsing Tottenham for the rest of the game. So he knows what he's
doing. Rinsing Tottenham? Martin Tyler.
Oh, yeah. To hear someone complain about when we scored our first goal, it sounded like his cat just died in front of him. He's like, it's Arsenal 1-0.
I actually have a bit of sympathy for him because I didn't even realise it had gone in because the ground was silent.
It was silent.
The camera angle didn't really look like it had gone in. So I always watch the Peter Drury commentary afterwards because it just gives me goosebumps. And even he was like, there was a split second.
We didn't realise it. No one celebrated for like half a second. Was like,
yeah.
Yeah.
So he's really done that.
Yeah,
it's true. I like the energy that Martin Tyler and Gary Neville bring to Arsenal games now because it's kind of like, you know, back in the playground at school when someone used to pick on you all the time. People really, really fancied you. It's like Neville is basically...
Did you pick on you at school?
No, girls. Like girls and boys would... You know?
Yeah.
I know.
Yeah.
I never got picked on at school, which means no one liked me.
No, not picked on, as in like girls would come up to you and like poke you and be like, hey, hey, hey.
I think that's a you thing, mate.
Well, just tangential.
You're just too good looking. What can you say?
But Neville is definitely a closet Arsenal fan. He just can't.
Well, Gary, you know where to come.
So he keeps saying he wants Arsenal to win. So ultimately, how many times do you say, oh, I want Arsenal to win the league, but every week I'm going to shit on them until it's mathematically impossible for anyone to catch up.
Yeah.
It's...
I think it does great for the Premier League scene as well. Like a new team coming through the ranks and not being...
A new team.
Manchester City. No,
I know what you mean.
For winning the title.
I know what you mean.
I even think United coming back, bringing back the old rivalry of United against Arsenal. Yeah.
By the way, this is such a statement for the league, just beating Spurs, just dominating. Mm. It's so, so good. Another thing, let's touch on United because I hate to break it. Of them, if you're saying City are in a title race, United are in a title race.
One point behind.
Yeah,
they're one point behind Man City.
Yeah.
I didn't even realise until I checked the table. I was like, "Whoa, hang on, how have they been giving City this much stick?"
Ten Hag.
Yeah,
no Ronaldo,
Hag, man. He's
Rashford. How's he turned it around?
Casemiro.
Yeah, it's a big help. Casemiro is a massive help. I think in the same way that Arteta did, he came in, had a squad of players that he couldn't really play the way he wanted to play. Start of the season, obviously started terribly without Casemiro. Started playing pragmatic football. They still don't play the way that Ten Hag normally plays, but he's using the players he's got. And he's exactly what Arteta did. And I also just think like there's a togetherness about that team. The things with Arsenal, Newcastle, United now, you look at them, it's all about a team. It's a team performance every time. And I think that makes a difference
said at the start of the season, United, who have Wan-Bissaka at right back, Luke Shaw at centre back, Malassi at left back, Bruno Fernandes playing on the right hand side with Martial up top. Good Martial up because he's actually a bit bad, isn't he? I don't really think he's good with injury.
Yeah, I think he's just made of glass.
He's just, that's what I'm saying though. He's got no consistency to his game. But if you said that, you'd think, wow, United are in trouble. But actually, they're just flying.
Yeah.
They actually just, they're playing really well. They seem quite set up very well.
Yeah, they've improved defensively.
Yeah.
The one thing in common about the four top teams in the Premier League at the moment are defensively brilliant.
Yeah.
You've got a DM
in Bruno, Rodri, Casemiro and Partey, who are, I've done five fingers there, I don't know why, who are all absolutely brilliant at what they do, and allow players further forward to just have freedom to be expressive.
Mm. But we say that, but the first half of that City United game, it was all over the place.
Mm-hmm.
There were so many stray passes, and it was just messy. It was lacking a lot of quality.
Yeah, that was not a good derby.
No.
It was not a good derby. Well, the end point was. It was limbed at the end.
I actually thought United were better in the first half. If they were going to win the game, I thought it needed to happen in the first half. They play better with Martial at front, even if he's not scoring, because he links up the play.
Oh, for sure.
And then in the second half, like when City went 1-0 up, I was like, frustrated, because it was like United could have actually got something. And then obviously the...
Should that goal have stood?
No. Nah.
Bruno's goal.
Well, the letter of the
law... Don't you dare sit
on the fence. I'm 100% offside, but the letter of the law, even the PMGOL or whatever they're called.
PMGOL,
is that what they're called?
Yeah.
They've said it's not offside.
This is what doesn't make sense, yeah? So the law is like, you have to touch the ball.
Yeah.
So why do people keep saying,
interfered?
Or touch a player.
There's five different things. It's like, did they block a defender's vision?
Which they did.
Which technically they did. Like, they've tried to make it so that it's literally yes or no instead of the referee's interpretation.
Yeah, yeah.
But it's just, it makes it ridiculous.
That is the most obvious offside ever. He goes for the ball.
100%.
He goes for the ball.
Have you seen the edits where Rashford's not there and Akanji's like right next to the ball?
it's just ridiculous. It doesn't.
Well, the Lino gave it.
The
Lino's obviously very good at what he does if he's a Lino that's in the Manchester derby.
Yeah. So you think how many times there are offsides called for like the ball go over the top. Yeah. The guy starts running to it. He'll stop running and they'll call it offside. He hasn't touched the ball.
Yeah.
He's not interfered with play. He'll call it offside. Why is it that if there's a goal, they're like, you know what? Yeah, that's actually not offside.
It's beyond
me. I don't get it.
It's not even a Kanji for me. It's Walker's chasing back.
Yeah.
Right? And instead of cutting off Bruno,
absolutely,
which he would have done if Rashford
for
wasn't
sure.
there,
yeah.
he straightens his run to cover Rashford taking it past Edison. And then also Edison comes out expecting... Again, Rashford to either go past him, all of his weight's going one way.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then, but if he'd known that Bruno was there, A, he'd have come out and cleared it anyway. Yep. And B, even the shot, he'd have been ready to go the other way. So I'm just like, there's no way that can stand. And then PJMML will come out and say, oh, it's the letter of the law. That's like, it's the equivalent of when they go, oh, we'll get the opinions of Peter Walton.
Yeah.
That will, you know.
Pointless.
Yeah. He's never going to go.
It's just like, I think Fergie sent him a text. I honestly do. I think, I always saw him in the crowd.
Yeah, we did.
He was there. He was chilling. He was vibing. He sent a text to the VAR.
Half asleep, but
Fergie does Fergie stuff. We all like him, really. But like, the line is called offside. Ref said no, it's offside, and the VAR bottled overruling the ref.
Well, the
it does. I will never understand it.
The issue isn't the result. The issue is the
what
rule.
Happened?
The rule in itself. I think the rule's wrong.
Yeah, they've tied up the referees and VAR with the rules into a position where even in their head they're like,
yeah. There's no nuance. I know that looks offside.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, do you know how to do this?
It's your common sense rule.
Common sense rule.
Yeah, absolutely. Bring it back.
I'll say it once and I'll say it again. The common sense rule needs to be part of football, because if you had common sense referee, you would know that's offside.
And generally, the only people arguing whether that should have stood are official referees that are in the system and Man United fans.
Yeah.
If the entire football scene of neutrals...
No, because they're not.
Well, Gary Neville's an Arsenal fan. So
Gary Neville's saying, look, as a fan, fucking love it. As a pundit, that's embarrassing.
Yeah.
He was literally saying that should not have scored. But then as soon as Bruno scores that goal, everyone knows United going to win that game.
Oh, whole game changes.
Yeah.
The thing is, right, if United are in a title race, and I think it will happen, if United win the title, you look back at Arsenal at Old Trafford, got that awful decision on the Martinelli goal,
and then
City at Old Trafford get an awful decision. And it's like, well, if that ends up tipping the title race, that's two massive decisions.
Big moments decide big games, decide big titles.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And if the officials are getting them wrong...
But when you win the league by 8 points, it doesn't really.
Yeah, if we go on to win it and trounce the rest of the league, then it doesn't matter. It's just a.
But it could be.
Point,
it could, that could be the. But the
it could
but
be. But it will like only ever be in hindsight, right?
But decisions like that can relegate teams.
They can.
Do you know? Like, it's actually quite a big deal.
Yeah,
it can make teams go bust.
Yeah, have you seen like the butterfly theory guy on TikTok?
Yeah,
it's like the football butterfly theory.
Yeah,
where one time someone stopped it from being a goal against Bournemouth or something, then Nathan Ake got relegated and then got signed to Manchester City, and then he was part of the Champions League team that got Havertz to score against them. Yeah, it's crazy. There's some crazy stuff just from like one single event.
There was the Neil Morpay injured Leno.
Yes, yeah, yeah, of course.
Caused Argentina to win the World Cup. World Cup.
Right. Also just facts.
Yeah.
It actually just is facts.
Yeah.
Rashford scoring again.
On fire.
He's what is it, fire. nine home games? Eight?
He's on a
games?
Record, isn't he? If he scores in one more consecutive game, he's United's like the record for scoring in United games.
Yeah.
Surely, I said he's got to be on seven and four all games. He must be.
I think it's nine all comps, eight home.
He
in
needs
a row.
To go for Vardy's record.
He could do.
Yeah,
well, no, he can't do because we're going to keep a clean sheet against him, so yeah. It's not going to so happen, true. Is it?
I don't know. Vardy's record's quite high, isn't it? It's 12. Like 12. Yeah, he's a while off that.
Yeah,
I thought when he went down injured, holding his like hip or groin.
Rashford.
Yeah, we all thought he'd done his hip flexor.
I was like, you never want to celebrate an injury, but I was like, if it puts him out of the Arsenal game, it's quite handy. But.
What is it?
Well, I've got the exact number, but it's his longest home goal streak since Rooney. Scored seven straight matches home and away and in great. And those are the only statistics I've got. But he must be nearing Rooney's record then.
He's basically
I think he tied it against City, so I think...
Yeah.
Basically on fire.
We should really know those facts before we...
Do we think... You know Guardiola's post-match interview. Do you think he's actually just like throwing toys out the pram? Or
he is hella rattled.
You know when he said he didn't care about winning the Premier League?
He
misspoke and he meant the FA Cup. I can't believe that he'd come out and say, I don't care about winning the Premier League.
But he said the Carabao as well, right?
Yeah, I think he meant
he said, I don't care about winning the Premier League, the Carabao Cup. We cannot win. We won a lot, so it's not a problem. He's basically said, been there, done that.
Yeah.
Have a year off.
Maybe he's trying to take the pressure off.
I think it's mind games. It's mind games against his... Arteta.
Because the thing is, they've made a comeback before, right? They made that comeback against Liverpool from however many points behind they were. But I think this is completely different because then it was almost like every game was a free hit. They were so far off Liverpool, every game was a free hit and people expected Liverpool to win. I think even now, people still expect City to make the comeback.
Yeah.
So it's like they can't afford to drop more points. There's more pressure on it if Arsenal go and win it. So I reckon he's trying to take the pressure off there, being like, you know, oh, we don't care.
Yeah. But the thing about City this year is that they do look quite vulnerable.
Yeah.
Like they look like previously you go to City like they're going to beat everyone 5-0, whereas now it's like, oh, they can be beat.
Yeah,
they really can.
Well, Southampton beat them.
I think it's the defence.
It's the defence.
There's no consistency in the lineup of the defence either. Yeah. It's like it's a different back four every week.
Mm.
But also they're not scoring. Like they had one shot on target in the last two games. That's shocking.
Yeah, I did see a lot of Man City fans being like, we deserve to win the derby, but they only had one shot on target in the full night.
Really. Well, Luke Shaw pocketed Haaland.
He did.
Pretty much.
Do you know what? Luke Shaw's gone under the radar as not only being one of the best left-backs this season, now he's started filling
left-centre-backs as well.
Keeper Martinez out. And like, I bet even like clocked that he was on the pitch in that game, which suggests that he had a very good game considering Haaland was on.
Yeah. Before we move on to another big result, we've got a new segment of the show. We don't know what to call it, though.
Ooh.
I did a bit of prep and then Lewis told me you can't do prep. It has to be completely off the cuff. So, oh well.
Why would you prep?
Because
how dare you cheat?
Sorry. It didn't say don't prepare for it.
I did not prepare for anything. Guys, let us know in the comments what you want to call this game. I reckon we call
it. Explain it, Lewis. Explain it.
I reckon we call it. Explain the name.
No, but okay,
so basically
I don't know what the game is.
Lewis is going to assign us a random player each, okay? We then each have 60 seconds to explain why the player you have been assigned is better than the other players, even if you don't believe it.
Correct.
Okay. At the end, we will guess if we think the guys are lying or telling the truth in our argument.
Yeah, so Theo, today you have Modric. Reeve, you've got Ozil. And Rory, you have KDB.
So we're putting forward the arguments as to why they are the best out of the three.
Yeah.
Understood.
And it's a game of argument and bluff. So Theo, do you want to kick it off?
Okay. Well, do you want to give me a timer?
I've got a timer right here. As soon as you start talking, I'm going to set it away. Actually, do you know what, mate? I'll count you in just because I'm nice.
Oh, you're such a G, man.
Right. 3, 2, 1, go.
Luka Modric is the only one out of these three who has Ballon d'Or. Quite literally makes him the best player in the world. His longevity is better than all three. Ozil had 5, 6, 7 good seasons. Modric had a career. KDB is not at the level of Modric yet in terms of age. He's not the same age as him. He's still got a long way to go. Luka Modric played for Real Madrid, has won like 47,000 Champions League, carried a nation to World Cup semi-final and final. with, let's be honest, a nation that probably will never get there again without him. He is the only Ballon d'Or player.
20 more seconds if you want them, though.
Luka Modric. He's currently 37 years old. 37 years old and pulling strings for the one of the best teams in the world.
You would say best?
Well, no, Arsenal the best.
Okay, of course. Yeah.
He is running the game forever.
Time.
Beep, beep, beep.
Good job.
There you go.
Bad. Not bad.
No, let's see yours.
Right. Not, do I have to guess true or false now? Or
no, we'll move on to...
Okay, cool.
Why is Ozil better than Modric?
Ladies and gentlemen, 334 goal contributions in 641 games over a goal every two games he's involved in. A World Cup in 2014. Mm-hmm. And the top assister in South Africa 2010. He's the only person in history to be a top assist provider in La Liga, Premier League, Bundesliga, Euros, Champions League, and Europa League. But let's look beyond stats, right? 2010, after his unbelievable World Cup performance, Wayne Rooney specifically asked for Ozil to be signed to Manchester United. Wayne Rooney. He's literally invented a new technique of scoring called the Ozil bounce. Who can say that? All right.
The Modric Traveller.
Okay. He plays with such elegance and grace. Theo's just dribbled. Ozil is comfortably the best player from this selection and unquestionably the greatest creative midfielder in Premier League history and the best midfielder of the previous two decades.
And time.
Thank you.
There you are, Evie.
That is so unfair that you got to prep
fully
that.
Fully prepped.
Yeah, that is so unfair. You wouldn't know any of that.
I didn't know that it was an unprepared segment.
In future, I'll just tell you the name. Yeah, you'll have no chance.
Okay. That's fine.
Okay, KDB. Rory, are you ready?
Why is KDB better than Modric and Ozil?
3, 2, 1, go.
For me, Ozil, not even in the question. As much as I love him for his Arsenal performances, it's a head-to-head between Kevin De Bruyne and Luka Modric. And so I'm going to start by just decimating your points about Luka Modric. So the Ballon d'Or is an irrelevant trophy. Pavel Nedved beat Thierry Henry to the Ballon d'Or in 2000 and whatever it was, when Henry had 20 goals and 20 assists in the same system. It's corrupt. It's fraudulent. That's negated that point. And when it comes to De Bruyne, you said what Modric has done. De Bruyne, most assists in Premier League history in a single season, tied with Thierry Henry on 20. Thierry Henry, the GOAT of football. How can you compare the two? And another thing with Kevin De Bruyne is that he's doing it in the Premier League. Luka Modric has never done it in the Premier League. Hardest league in the world, so that's another... he has done it in the Premier League. He's done it in the Premier League, but he did it at Tottenham and he never won a single trophy, so it's utterly irrelevant. He didn't win the Premier League. Did they even get in top four with him? I don't know. So that's irrelevant. I've run out of time because they're laughing. De Bruyne is two-footed and he's simply a better player.
I'm dying. There we go.
Don't need 2 feet. It's all going so well.
I was honestly like, Jesus Christ, this guy's insane.
Oh, I'm fuming about that.
Oh, that was so close.
He killed your Ballon d'Or point immediately.
Nedved deserved the Ballon d'Or.
Oh.
Did he?
Right.
What do we do now?
Well, Theo, you made your argument there. So do you think Theo actually believes that?
Do I think Theo believes Modric is the best out of these three?
Mm-hmm.
I think true.
I also think true.
Yeah, I do. But I do think he's the best out of those three because of the longevity at the level he's played.
Over KDB.
Over KDB,
yeah.
There, right?
Yeah, KDB, I think by the end of his career will be considered better than Modric. But right now, you have to look at the longevity Modric is having. He's won a Ballon d'Or. Look, I agree that he shouldn't have won that Ballon d'Or personally. I think Ronaldo and Messi that year were just so fucking good. But he got it because of what he did with his nation, which now they've changed the rules.
And Champions League.
And yeah, but they've changed the rules now.
Yeah, yeah.
It's more of an individual performance. Yeah, so he wouldn't have won it. If he'd had the same season now, he would not have won it. Do you know what I mean?
Absolutely,
yeah.
But I think in terms of longevity and what he's done in his career, Modric is the best. For me, I'm telling the truth.
Interesting. What about me?
I think your points you made are really good.
Thanks.
But I don't think you believe it.
I don't believe it.
Yeah, I don't think you believe it.
But false.
Your points made it sound like he is the best.
Yeah, of course. Because I had preparation,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Yeah.
But those stats about him being the top assist provider in three leagues is insane.
But I don't think you're a stats man. I think you're
I'm not a stats man. Yeah, yeah.
KDB.
Out of the three, I think to watch play, I prefer De Bruyne. But I think Modric is the best.
And I think
you believe your hype.
No, I don't.
Do you not?
I'd have said Modric would get it for me. De Bruyne is just a poor man's Emil Smith Rowe. So.
Jesus Christ. Oh. poor man's Odegaard.
Well, do you know what? This season, Odegaard's better than De Bruyne. So.
Odegaard's best player in the Premier League.
He
season.
Is.
Yeah, no, yeah. He actually is.
No, he is. He's the best Norwegian in the Premier League.
Yeah.
Well, don't argue it if you want.
Surely Norway are going to qualify for Euro 24.
Well, it's one of those, though. They've got two good players.
Yeah. No, but they got...
Here we go.
Keep going. Just radio silence on the podcast.
Elliot Nussi, is he Norwegian?
Soloth.
Oh, Soloth.
Yeah. We do have Soloth.
Yeah. Joshua King.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, but he's not going to play ahead of Haaland, is he? Or Soloth.
Any defenders?
No.
No. No defense.
Not really.
Haven't they got... No, Skov is Danish, isn't he? Oh, I can't remember any of the players.
Adje?
Oh, yeah. Could you? For AC Milan?
He's Danish.
Same region, though.
Yeah,
Scandinavian.
Because he's the one that protected Eriksen, wasn't he?
Yeah.
He got that little medal at the...
Yeah. I remember.
There we go.
Right, so for us three, Modric guys, let us know what you think you should call that segment. What we should call that segment, rather.
What about Pitch It? Because you're...
Oh, that's very good, Luke. Yeah. Very good.
Did you just come up with that?
Yeah, man.
No. Yeah, man. That's why you're the brains of the operation. No. You have the brains.
That's actually really good.
Thanks, man.
Right, let's move back to the Prem because Liverpool.
Yeah, man.
Liverpool.
They are in trouble.
Big trouble.
I still think they'll come fourth or fifth.
No.
Do you know what? I've been saying that for a while and every, like...
There's 20 games left.
Yeah, no. Yeah.
Even if it takes them two more to turn it around and they win...
I don't think they finish fourth.
No, I think fourth is a stretch now. Fourth is a stretch.
It'll be Arsenal, City, United, Newcastle. Man United.
You said it yourself, Reeve. Like, the top four teams are really good defensively.
Absolutely.
So, like, I just don't think Liverpool are going to recover in time.
Yeah,
Benzema wins championships.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
And I also think Cody Gakpo could be the new Darwin Nunes.
Don't say that. He's had one game. And Brighton.
I think Liverpool might have a curse.
Brighton.
Chelsea have a curse. Chelsea got a number 9 curse. Liverpool got a new signing curse.
Brighton. Oh,
Ever since they signed Arthur, new signing curse.
Yeah. They can never sign a player again.
They cannot.
That's unfortunate.
If you sign these players, you must use 40-year-olds like Jay Spearing.
Isn't he in the coaching staff?
No, he's still playing for the Rezzies, I think, and coaching staff. Yeah. He's still going long. The Ox is starting for Liverpool still, and I love the Ox,
yeah.
But
they have got injury issues. Diaz come back.
But their entire front line.
Jota's too busy doing Squad Builder Showdown.
Yeah.
That's true. Nunes, of course, he's injured.
I think Nunes will come good.
Yeah, I think he has to, surely. Right?
Yeah, but I don't think the attack isn't their issue. It's the midfield again.
Yeah.
I think that man, Chelsea, the midfield's a massive issue.
But they're not scoring
aging, goals. Lacking talent. Naby Keita, how he's still there, I don't know. Yeah.
You've got to remember,
Thiago's carrying it.
If Fabinho was at the same level as you know, like the Rodri's, the Partey's, Casemiro's, they probably wouldn't be in this position. He's having a rotten season.
But he could just be aged.
Have you seen that theory that Fabinho might have done the old age fraud early in his career?
Mukoko's been called out for it as well, hasn't it?
Mukoko, who else was it? There was someone else as well, but yeah, there's a...
He's apparently
rumours that Fabinho... only because he looks really old this season compared to last season.
How old is he actually? How old are people?
28?
Not that old.
I would say 28.
Yeah. He looks older. He's playing like he's older.
He is only 29.
29.
Yeah. I don't know if I see this man's face. Fabinho.
So that's the theory.
Did you see that article recently where like Eto'o had it like that they checked out their national team's youth system?
Yeah.
And like 16 of the 27 squad were over age.
Yeah.
Mental.
No one's eligible because they're all like 45.
It's mad for Eto'o to actually like go and do that because he's only harnessing Tantric. His team. Like he's, you know what I mean? Like he's making it harder.
Yeah.
But actually, you got to respect it.
Harnishing.
I don't know what that means.
Harnishing.
Solly March, 2 goals. Danny Welbeck coming up with a goal against this.
By the way, Paul Gascoigne-esque.
That was unreal.
That was over.
Seen it?
Yeah, I have seen it.
Okay, I'm just checking.
Yeah, no fucking quality. How long until Klopp out?
It would never be Klopp out, though, is it? The fans.
Wouldn't it?
They adore him still.
Do they?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But why?
Like, what he's given them.
I think Klopp, this season, Lampard's doing a better job than Klopp.
That is bollocks.
It isn't. If you look at the squad that Lampard has, which is a championship squad, a relegation
they're
side
going
squad,
back there.
And then you have Liverpool. Like,
Frank's taken them back, mate.
They just lost to Southampton.
Yeah.
But Southampton have a. Like, Everton are naff. Like,
no, what are you about to say?
What about Southampton are literally in the relegation zone?
Southampton off a win from against Man City. I mean, come on. They're always going to win.
Southampton are the Norway of the Premier League.
Yeah.
They have James Ward-Prowse and then they've got like 10 other players.
What I'm saying is Lampard's sort of around expectation, Klopp's underperforming.
Yeah, but he overperformed for such a short time. Like, I think he'll walk before he gets pushed by the fans, I think. And I think he will walk soon.
You've got to realise what Klopp got out of these players. He maximised every single player's ability and potential to get to a degree that we value them that high, when in reality, their average level is probably not second in the Prem.
Did you see the stat where it's like in the last 10 years, Liverpool spent 500 million and in the last 6 months, Chelsea spent
468.
Like,
yeah, it's crazy.
Mental.
Carragher's tweeted, Liverpool are as bad defensively as anyone in the Premier League right now. Fortunately, they have the best keeper, which means they aren't further down the table.
I agree
with that. I don't mean they've got the best keeper in Arsenal.
I think
he's very, very good keeper.
Who's better, Ramsdale?
Ramsdale's better on form. Pope's better on. I'd rather have Pope and go. The way that they're playing, especially at the moment, I'd rather have Pope and go.
I think they're conceding so many shots. I think if you stuck Pope in that Liverpool team, then it would be the same equivalent.
Probably. Well, if you want, lads, I got some stats.
It would be.
The Theo has a stat here, which is going to prove you wrong.
Yeah, but the save percentage is bollocks, mate.
I got a stat for you all.
Go on.
Here, I'll give you who the best Premier League keepers are.
That's not how it works.
Best save ratio.
Save XG. Or
best save ratio. Pickford, 73%.
Okay, that's a... Fifth. That top. Oh, fifth. Okay, I was going to say.
Raya, 74%.
This means nothing.
Leno, 74%. Kepa, 79%. And in number one, Nick Pope, 82%.
Do you know how I know this means nothing? Because Alfonso Areola, when Fulham got relegated, was the top save percentage of that season. If you have more saves to make... because you're a shit defence, then you tend to make more saves.
Yeah.
Did you see Alisson against Wolves? And you're saying this guy's...
That's not the Premier League.
Yeah, it's still a keeper playing football. That's like saying
Riyad Mahrez is an unbelievable Premier League player this season because he's scoring four goals.
He's literally played against a Premier League team.
If you take away Wolves.
With that list is that Pickford's on it and Ramsdale isn't. And I think at that point you say.
But it's save. It's straight save ratio. It's not goals prevented. Goals prevented. The top four is Ramsdale, Leno, Kepa. And then Alisson, who's had 8 goals prevented this season.
I'm not saying he's a bad keeper, but he is not the best keeper this season in the Premier League. And Alisson, I got rinsed when I said that earlier.
Alisson in the Newcastle side, there's no points difference to where you are now.
Yeah, because Pope's keeping them out anyways. You can't improve on perfection, can you?
No, I'm saying Alisson, instead of Pope, would can't remain in the same perfect. Point. You'd be on the same points.
Yeah, because Pope's not letting them in anyways.
I think Alisson is unreal, but I don't even think Liverpool's defence is the issue. I think the midfield again is the issue, but now the defence actually have to defend and it's exposing them.
They just need a bit of protection from the midfield, I feel like. They need to sign people, man.
And that's like Fabinho dropping off, Henderson aging, Milner aging.
You can't counter-press how Klopp has done for all these seasons with like 34-year-old.
They've got basically Liverpool's issues. They got a lot of dead wood. And this January, this summer, they need to start like reborning.
Mm. Keep going with it. They need like a phoenix.
Yeah, they need to shed their skin to create new skin. It's so true.
Who do they shed then? Come on.
Milner.
Well, he'd move
he's
coaching,
out of contract,
I think.
Well,
he'd probably go coaching staff or like fitness coach or something.
They should get Tielemans.
Put Milner ahead of fitness.
Tielemans is good, but he is not an issue. So he does not run enough to be a Liverpool player. He'd be good at Arsenal.
Yeah.
Not Liverpool.
Yeah, that's a fair point.
Next week, I will come back with a list of players Liverpool need to get rid of and who they need to sign.
And then we can tell them to Liverpool.
Just like I did with Dan Burn, and now he's one of the best defenders in the league.
And now Spurs are looking at Zaniolo. People watch pitch side, yeah?
We are the prophet. Speaking of Solly March.
Yeah, let's give credit where credit's due. Brighton under De Zerbi are fantastic.
Are they better since Potter left?
Yes. I think so.
Tricky. Because I think so much...
Don't be on the fence, Rory. Right, you're on pitch side. Come on.
Are they playing better right now? Yes. was a lot of that set up by Potter in the first place?
Of course.
I think so.
Yeah.
So I don't think like, I don't think you can say De Zerbi's a better manager necessarily, but they are playing better football.
Potter was never given chances to Evan Ferguson, who turns out to be a very prolific striker. Solly March has gone from, but they set up like a three at the back most of the time under Potter, right? And Solly March was a right wing back. Now he's been playing at like the number 11 role. 11? 7?
Winger.
Right, yeah.
Mm-hmm. As a winger.
As a winger.
And the number 11 role.
I'm just talking Vipic. And he's fantastic. Matoma's incredible.
Speaking of great wingers,
McAllister's got a World Cup coming back.
Oh, yes. Speaking of wingers.
That's what I was doing, mate.
Oh. Time to rank the top 10 Premier League wingers.
In sync. See, that was
lovely.
But this is what we're doing. We're going to rank the top 10 Premier League wingers.
Yeah,
on form.
It has to be purely on form.
Yeah. Look, injuries do not matter.
None of this,
if you want.
None of this old school. Finally, me and Theo are on the same page.
Oh, no, you're finally on.
No, we're on the same page for once.
He's finally on my page.
but sometimes your page is the wrong page because you were on the wrong page.
My page is never wrong.
That's not no, we can't let that run.
My page.
You're not omnipotent. Never,
I am. I'm the omniscient God.
That's just a different word entirely.
I'm the omnipotent God.
Yeah.
We are ranking the top 10 Premier League wingers currently, so you can't say David Beckham because he's retired. Number 10, Jack Grealish. Every time he plays, he's very good. And he just obviously, Cassie City, he may not get all the minutes, but every time he plays, he's scoring goals, assisting, running up defenders. Just really good player.
6-4, isn't he? Goal contributions.
There you go. See, pretty goddamn good, Jackie G. Number 9, Solly March.
Ooh,
with concurrent form.
Yeah,
he just is playing very well. Where are Brighton? 6th in the league. What do you say?
I don't like that.
You think he should be higher?
I do. Yeah.
Number 8, Wolf Zaha.
Oh, I don't know if he is on form. You know,
I've got two arguments with that. He's not on form, and he's been playing as a number 9 at the moment. So,
he's not in mine on form. I'll put it that way.
But I just think he's just quite consistent with what he does, isn't he?
Is he? When's his last goal?
I don't know. I like Zaha. So let me have him.
You can't say a name and then...
All right, fine. Zaha 10, Grealish 9.
I like, that's better.
Zaha 10, Grealish 9, March 8.
Yeah.
Okay.
Number 7, Mitoma.
Better than Solly March.
Yeah.
I actually really like Mitoma. He's scoring goals. He's playing with confidence. He turned down a football contract to go to university. I've got to rate the man.
Put it this way.
He did a PhD on dribbling, didn't he? Or is that cap? I read that somewhere.
That is the biggest cap I've ever read.
It might be.
You're not doing a PhD on dribbling.
January window, would you rather March or Mitoma?
Mitoma.
Yeah.
There you go.
I don't think he's playing better now, though.
I think he is. I think he is. I think Mitoma's playing better. Yeah. I think you're getting blinded by the two he scored against. March scored against Liverpool. Number 6. Controversial. Mahrez. Similar with Jack Grealish, every time he plays, which is not, you know, it's Classic City, but he does a job. He always does well. He runs at defenders. He's scary. He cuts inside quite a lot on his strong foot. Number 5. Salah. I know I've gone at him a few times over the last few weeks, but actually he's one of Liverpool's only good players. Number 4, Martinelli. Number 3, Marcus Rashford.
3?
Ooh.
Rashford.
Ooh.
What do you mean 3?
That's going to rattle United fans.
He's got to be top 2, isn't he?
Number 2, Miguel Almiron.
Yeah, okay.
Don't like that.
Number 1, best winger in world football currently, Bukayo Saka.
That's got to be the one we all agree on, right?
Read it and weep it. Why do you think I wore the shirt? For people that aren't watching this, audio listeners only.
And the microphone.
What?
You can't see it behind the microphone in the water.
No, they can see that.
They can see that.
Why is ripping me first?
What's wrong with my list? I'm going to
have my shirt, basically.
I know what's going to happen. You lot are going to do like a very similar
list.
You lot are going to say something similar and all the comments will be like, oh my God, Phil doesn't know fucking shit.
I'm not.
I don't think it's an awful list.
There are
two players on my list that aren't on yours.
Interesting.
Top four is the same, but slightly different.
Well, let's hear your 10. Let's go with your 10.
Solly March at 10. I think there might be a bit of recency bias putting him higher up.
But it's current form.
It's current form. No, but I mean like extreme recency bias, as in the game just played.
Yeah.
No. Whoa. Since the World Cup restart, he's been excellent.
He has.
Worldie against Saudi.
But no one above him, in my opinion, I can drop below him. Kulusevski at 9.
But how are we evaluating form?
Kulusevski in form?
Yeah. He's the only Spurs player that looks half decent this season, other than Kane.
Form?
I think so. He's not played barely since the World Cup.
Right,
so if you take injuries out of it, if you take games that he's played.
No, I think he's a fantastic player. I think he's brilliant. Yeah, yesterday he was their only threat, really. But
to me, he's better than Jack Grealish.
Is he better over the last 5 game weeks when he's.
Mate, his last goal contribution came in game week 16 versus Leeds.
What was that? 3 weeks ago? 2 weeks? 2 game weeks ago?
He's got two goal contributions in the last 11 matches.
What I mean. Like,
maybe how many Jack Grealish got there? Because he's basically in mine. He's replacing.
What
Grealish
did you just say?
How many Jack Grealish got? Maybe like 4 or 5.
Like fucking loads.
Has he?
Quite a lot recently.
Yeah. Two and 11's way more than Jack Grealish got way more than 2 and 11.
Well, this is why it's a debate.
Yeah, you know.
It's true.
Keep going. We can't get you on for the first time and then just batter everything.
Matoma at 8.
Okay.
Salah at 7.
Nice.
Foden at 6, who wasn't in your list. I think City are second in the league. I know he's like slightly dropped off of late, but Foden gets into.
We're on the same page here, right?
Neither of you got Foden in the top 10.
Not currently.
In a general list of ability.
Yes.
I think we'd all probably put him like top 3. But we're doing it. I've been told off for this before.
What, for rating Foden?
For doing a different list where I pick players not specifically on form.
Right. I don't think he's off form though.
I think he's been pretty poor.
I disagree.
I think Matoma's been playing better personally.
I don't know. The thing is, well, Mahrez at 5. So he is above Foden. I think he's better on form than Foden. I think there's like, because of the last week, there's a bit of a like, City are completely out of form, which I think is a bit harsh. I don't think they're completely out of form. They are still second in the league.
They are.
So depending on like, all right, if you're talking the last 5 games, maybe. If you thought the last 10 games that include the 5 games before the World Cup. For me, anyway. That's. And then top 4, Martinelli, Almiron, Rashford 2, and Saka 1.
Same order.
Yeah.
Should I do mine?
Yeah.
Well, you know my top 4. In 10, I have the new Leeds wonder kid. I think he's been brilliant. I know he's not had a lot of game time, but from what I'm seeing,
he's just going to get
very good.
My God, we've known so much ball.
Wilfred Nonto.
Wilfred Zaha.
No.
Close. No, but close, but no Zaha. Number 9, Jack Grealish. Your favourite.
Eagles.
Number 8, Mohamed Salah. Brutal rating, but if
yeah, it might have been quite. It might have been quite high for mine. To be fair,
Number 7, Matoma. Number 6, Martinelli. Slight drop off recently. I know he's been excellent, but 4, Solly March. 3, Almiron.
4, Solly March.
Yeah, 2, Rashford.
Wait, who's 5?
1 second. Oh shit! Have I missed out number 4? I can't even count to 10.
He's done. Oh my God! You've only got 9 players.
Mahrez.
Sorry, so you've got a Solly March ahead of Almiron?
Yeah, I've changed it.
And Mara's...
Hang on a minute. So let me get this right. The only one to have a good list out of all of us is me.
I'm backing yours so far.
Okay.
Is he Solly March?
No.
Almiron.
Okay, I've got it.
He has put March above Almiron.
He's got Martinelli at 6. I know Martinelli's dropped off a time.
What are you shaking for? I'm getting a bit nervous, getting a bit shaky.
Yeah, I've done it. That's right, isn't it? 5... Yeah.
My God. Right, guys, let us know what your lists are in the comments down below. Whose do you agree with? Mahrez?
Sorry. Let me read you. 10 Mahrez, 9 Nonto.
He's had a list of 9 people.
8 Grealish. 7 Salah. Yeah, 6 Matoma, 5 Martinelli. 4 Almiron, 3 Solly March, 2 Rashford, 1 Saka.
March ahead of Almiron and Martinelli.
Oh my God.
Yeah, if we're talking about specifically on form, I think he's probably one of, if not the most informed player in the Premier League. He is.
He's playing well.
Since the restart, he's had like 5 goal contributions in
right,
games.
Leave your thoughts in the comments down below, guys. But from one controversy to another controversy.
Ooh.
Mudryk, you have lost the plot. You've actually lost, you're crazy.
Silly boy.
For the last year, you've been putting on your Instagram I love Arsenal. I'm an Arsenal fan. Please let me sign for Arsenal. You then get dangled a bit more money for 8.5 years.
Do you think that's him?
As his agent.
Yeah.
I think his agent said, if you don't accept this deal, you're fired. Mudryk, you really let us down. It's a disgrace to football what has happened here. Chelsea mocked it by whacking him in their Instagram bio. Yeah,
that was weird.
Saying, put in Instagram posts like, oh, come to Chelsea.
I think they basically wanted him to think, oh, Chelsea fans do like me.
They don't.
It was literally a thing of like, we need him to, he basically gets off this plane, he needs to sign the contract, so he needs to feel like he's wanted at the club.
Yeah. Chelsea are panic mode right now. Yeah. I actually feel like they're in panic mode. Like, they've beaten Arsenal to João Felix and Mudryk. Like, do they need both of them? Are they just signing them?
What
are
they doing now?
They're just like, they're just slapping all these cocks down. Look at us, all the money. Look at us. Like,
it's a shambles.
Is financial fair play a real thing?
I don't think it is. But Todd Bowley's going, you're a man, we're getting him. We're going to fire our guns. We're going to go to all this. Like, surely Potter is a smart man. Surely Potter should be involved. Like, they've got the Brighton team, basically.
Yeah, but
who are quite good at purchasing players and...
Well, their scouting team's insane, but I think their scouting team's still at Brighton.
I don't think Potter and any of the guys have had a say in these players.
Have you seen all the structure in the transfer? So, like, the reason it's an 8.5-year contract is they'll pay the fee and then it's, like, the installments over the years, so you sort of get your own financial fair play.
Only 65 mil, isn't it?
Yeah, 85. Whereas...
65.
No, the flat fee is 65 and all the add-ons go up to...
Yeah, why? People compare it to like Alvarez's buyout clause. Like, well, why didn't you get him? Because that's like, that'll be a more of a lump sum. Yeah. So they couldn't have got away with
it. But Mudryk, I just don't, like, Arsenal are top of the league. They're building something massive here. Like,
he's clearly not had a say in this, has he?
No. The deal he got is basically worth four times what Arsenal offered because it's double the wages and also double
but
the
But I feel like if he went to Arsenal in the long run, he would get a bigger contract.
He might, but he'd have been sat behind Martinelli for a while. Like, there's no guarantee that he'd have ever made that breakthrough. He's looking at that Chelsea team. He's looking at it going, I'm going to go straight into the starting line.
And he's probably
if
been told.
If it all goes wrong, I can sit here for 8.5 years and cash a cheque in.
But he could do a Ross Barkley for all we know.
Well, yeah, he could.
Like, he's Chelsea an 8.5-year deal.
Chelsea are playing a ridiculous
He's played 29 matches in 3 years.
Here's a question. Take your Arsenal fandom and bias aside. If you were offered a squad role to play for Arsenal for half the amount of money versus Chelsea starter every single game for double the amount of money, which one would you take?
Arsenal.
Would you?
Yeah, I'm an Arsenal fan.
I just said, the first thing I said before that was remove your Arsenal bias and fandom. Okay, a neutral
club. But he is an Arsenal fan. But Mudryk's an Arsenal fan.
Yeah, okay, so a neutral club.
Yeah.
United.
No, but Arsenal top of the league.
Yeah,
they're building
of course it's
sure you'd
want to
be part of the project.
Yeah, but...
You could win a Premier League medal in your first season.
I think he's an idiot. Yeah, I'm agreeing with you, but I'm saying financially, from a guy that's come from Ukraine, getting very little money in terms of wages comparative to the rest of European football.
He's rocked up in head-to-toe Louis Vuitton.
He has. I also don't think he's an Arsenal fan. I think he wanted
he was
out
pushing
of Ukraine, and Arsenal was clearly the most likely option. And so he played into the hype, he played into the fans, because he knew it would help him get it over the line. As soon as Chelsea came knocking, he didn't need to be an Arsenal fan anymore.
Does anyone know what
does he care?
Club he actually does support? Has he come out ever and said he's...
Probably.
I don't know.
He never actually said he was an Arsenal fan.
No,
he just
exactly.
Take pictures of Arteta and like a little love heart.
Yeah.
That would sort of suggest he is an Arsenal fan, wouldn't it?
I do have some breaking news about the transfer. So the Shakhtar presidents came out and said they're pledging 22 million quid of the money from the transfer towards the war in Ukraine, which is like a hefty sum.
Yeah, that's
mental. I think it's going to come out in a few years that all of the stuff that happened behind the scenes in this deal is going to be like, I don't know if it's corruption, but it's just... So they're also, that same guy also said that Chelsea are going to play friendlies with Shakhtar in Ukraine once Ukraine have like regained control of the region. So there's loads of these additional like things basically that are tying.
Well, they wouldn't have done that with Roman, would they?
No. But that's even the thing. Mudryk walked out onto the pitch yesterday at halftime.
Abramovich.
Mudryk walked out onto the pitch draped in a Ukraine flag. There's still a like Roman Empire Russian flag on the side of the stadium. It's insane. Absolutely insane. I'd be interested to know what normal Ukrainian people think about him making that move. That would be interesting, but I don't know.
Well, it wouldn't have ran had it still been previous ownership.
Oh, no, definitely.
Well, look, they've signed him. They've signed João Felix, who might play again. We don't know yet. And can Chelsea make a surge? Can they get back into it?
No way. They are all over the shop. Even that signing in itself, they went from Enzo Fernandez, that fell through, so they went Mudryk. Like, surely, and they need midfield. Like, midfield is where they're, like, well off the pace, in my opinion. How do you go from Enzo Fernandez to Mudryk? Like, surely you have a position, you want to fill it, there's a certain profile.
Yeah.
So you move to, if you've got that money to spend, you move to even, like, Declan Rice.
Do you think, actually, they've just...
Bizarre.
They've actually not scouted him. I reckon what's happened is they've seen Arsenal scouting and they've seen Arsenal's transfer policy think, oh, if Arsenal going after him,
yeah, the big
he must be good.
Yeah, yeah.
And they're like, oh, we'll just trust Arsenal's like scouting ability.
Yeah,
yeah.
But that's what happens with a lot of transfers. Remember Willian? He was like, he was about to go to four different clubs at once and then Chelsea just nabbed him.
Yep. Not even that it took much scouting, but even with Rafinha during the summer, we wanted him and then Chelsea came in and then Barca big dicked them, but I just think I think Chelsea are going to be like a 2 or 3 year rebuild, I reckon. It's and they've also got to offload like a ridiculous amount of players now that they only just bought, and that's where the financial fair play thing kicks in, because like when you give out a massive contract, if you then get rid of the player halfway into that contract, whatever you sell them for, you've then also got to pay off the rest of what the contract would have been. Like it's a thing called like amortization, and it factors in. So it's like why if United sold Harry Maguire now, he's still got 4 years left on his contract. If they sold him for 40 million, I think 12 million is all that would be added to like what they can spend in the transfer.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it's messed up. That's why United can't spend any money now. It's because they're like absolutely screwed with wages.
So no wonder they're rebuilding.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, that's actually quite some bonus.
It's not that the Glazers went for them.
What the fuck? What are you doing on this show?
Finance knowledge, that one.
Yeah.
Speaking of finance knowledge, Newcastle. Got very lucky. I've heard some rumours flying around that they were watering, stamping, impeding that penalty spot.
Yeah.
What, watering?
Scuffed the penalty spot ruined my Mitrovic's fantasy.
And now I'm getting Cucurella off and 0 point Mitrovic coming on.
Yeah. Do you know what? It's what they get. They've shouldn't have been a pen.
It's annoying, isn't it? Do you know that in terms of FPL, that single moment between Mitrovic kicking it against his own foot, scoring the penalty, probably like a 15-point swing for most
Newcastle defenders.
Yeah,
cost me.
Double defenders.
It wasn't a penalty though. This is the thing. That's just straight karma acting instantly. It's beautiful.
You're not going to like it though. Burn 10 seconds before was a penalty and a red card.
Silva was like,
where's the red?
It's a penalty and a red card. He's pulled him back. Literally, Andreas Pereira is about to shoot.
Yeah,
and in the rules are that if you pull someone back rather than going for the ball, that's a straight red card. Yeah.
No, this is the thing.
There's no attempt to play the ball; it's a red.
Yeah. He didn't pull. There was no actual pull. He had a hold of his hand as he was coming back around, and the guy threw himself to the floor. That's just playing.
He pulled
up to
his arm
it.
Though. Like if you're about to shoot, your arms are out. You're about to shoot. You need your arms for balance, and your arm gets pulled behind your back. I know he exaggerates the fall. But 1,000,000%.
Well, if you need your arms for balance.
If it's a foul, it's a penalty. And if it's a penalty, it's a red card.
If you need your arms for balance, that argument can stand for handballs and defenders having the hands out. You know what I mean? Like, where does that stop? So it's sort of like, that was so soft. And I don't think anyone wants football to go that soft.
Do you know what this reminds me of? If you're going to win a league title, you're going to need luck, yeah? If you're going to get top four as Newcastle, you're going to need a bit of luck.
Mm.
And I think this is what you're saying.
On balance, I thought Newcastle probably deserved to win the game anyway. So it's like,
yeah.
But I do think, and that's the second in what, 2.5 weeks that Dan Burns got away with giving a penalty by clumsily pulling someone back. Not that I'm
no comment
about that, but but I do think it's about time Burn got punished for this. He's just clumsy, isn't it? He's just got that, you know, three-fingered hand and it's all over the place.
I will say though, Fulham are good.
They are good.
Really good.
Very
hard
game.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. They had me
to
worried
go to
a
your
lot.
Ground and be that impressive. It's not an easy task, that.
You know, when Bruno scored for United, you thought, oh, here we go. United are going to win this.
Yeah.
When Mitrovic double kicked that penalty, you thought, oh, Newcastle are going to win this now, aren't they? And Isaac popped up, 89th minute winner.
Yeah.
Callum Wilson assist.
Yeah.
I thought Callum Wilson handballed it. I've barely seen anything about it, barely even any replays. But he heads it into the back of the defender in front of it, and then it comes back and hits his arm. I'm certain of it, but they've not even shown any close-up replays.
Oh, well, before he flicks it across to...
Yeah. He controls it with... And I don't know the rules of handball if it would count, because it's not technically the motion that creates the goal, but it basically is.
Yeah.
But they've not even shown it.
Well, Newcastle have kept 5 successive clean sheets for the first time in their top division history, and this is a good point. With Newcastle sat in third, level on points for United, and we're calling United in a title race, why aren't we calling Newcastle in a title race?
Oh, we did before then.
But the media, mate, this really annoys me, like, because, like...
It really annoys
honestly,
me!
Honestly, Man United get one lucky win against Man City.
Yeah, but no, it's because Man United are notorious title winners, Newcastle aren't.
That's irrelevant onto the individual season basis, though. History doesn't make you win a championship in that individual season.
But also, you've got to remember that you not being declared in a title race is better for your chances of being in a title race.
Yeah.
The more traction and media attention Newcastle get for being in a title race, the more pressure there is for each game you to come out and perform. If you just keep going under the radar, plodding along, 3 points, 1 point, blah, 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 clean sheet, etc., you have a higher chance of finishing top four this season.
Yeah.
And, oh my God, Newcastle in the fourth title race, man. Oh, I can't believe it. Every single game, we've got to win. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Well, for me, it's mainly, I've been called an idiot since last season saying top four and all this. And now I said title race. And, you know, we'll keep on the way. Only conceded 11 this whole season. One defeat, which shouldn't have been a defeat against Liverpool, so we're well in it, I think.
Squad depth has to be the thing.
Yeah.
Cost
you.
Bruno G.
Bruno injured.
Alonso out for. It's going to be squad
depth. They got Shelby, though.
Injured.
Oh, no.
Yeah. And Big Boy might be locked up.
No. That hurt me down deep, that one. But big rumours, though.
Oh, he got...
Oh, drink driving.
Right, rumours coming out. We want to get Newcastle in for Milinkovic-Savic.
Really?
Lazio were finally like lowering their ridiculous.
That's a big signing. Huge. Oh, he's taken it like the Serie A KDB, isn't he?
Yeah. I'm calling it now. You'll see us act very quickly, I think. As soon as Bruno is out, if he's out for 6 weeks, we'll get someone in within the next week and a half.
That's what I really rate about Newcastle's transfer policy is if you're linked with someone, two or three days later, it's almost like, yeah, they've signed.
Yeah.
There's no like...
Milinkovic-Savic, I think you can get on loan as well, which I assume like... FFP, you're in trouble at the moment.
Why are they loan him out though?
No, so they're basically willing to do like a 10 million, a bit like Felix.
Oh, okay.
A 10 million loan fee with then like
an option to buy.
And the sum of like 40. But they've always asked for like 80 before. So if you can get him for that, I reckon that's a decent deal.
Isn't that mad?
Yeah.
Loaning someone out for 6 months and it costing £10 million.
It's football now, isn't it, these days? Lads, men. Before we move on to the boo. Relegation. Big teams down there.
Huge
teams. Big teams.
The
Everton, Southampton, West Ham.
Do you remember when we did the who's bigger out of Newcastle, Everton and West Ham?
It ends up being Newcastle.
Yeah, Newcastle just flying and these two are down.
Well, you know.
Ward-Prowse got another free kick though. Two away from Beckham's record, is it now?
Yeah. Is he the greatest free kick taker in the Prem of all time?
No, well, Beckham is at the moment.
No, not statistically, but I mean... Over a free kick, would you rather have David Beckham?
Well, did you see Pickford's reaction when they conceded the free kick? He literally booted the post because he knew it was going in. Yeah. It's like conceding a penalty.
I thought Pickford was poor on that though. He stood so far to the one side and he's basically gone, right, if you put it there, then fair enough.
Yeah. But it's also far out.
With James Ward-Prowse because he will put it there. Yeah. But
that's the thing. That he's probably like, I'm going to give him the room because I can trust my wall. He's so far out, I get over it. Yeah. But
Well, he's tried to play the whole El Matador game with the bull and a red carpet.
Yeah.
And instead of a bull and a red carpet, it's like a monster truck. They're flying over him because it's James Ward-Prowse on the free kick.
Leeds as well. They're a big club. They're down there.
I think they will go.
But what about their new star signing that you love so much?
I think they're good. But like the thing is, all these teams suffer defensively. If they're going to go down, it's because they concede too many goals. And Leeds still just can't seem to sort their...
Leeds stay up.
Conceding problem.
Chicken.
Of all of those teams, we've played all of those teams apart from Everton who haven't played yet. Leeds are the only team that gave us a game out of pretty much.
But that was Elland Road.
It was Elland Road, but I think towards the end of the season they'll have games at Elland Road
where
it will be that gets them over the line. Southampton are gone. I predicted they finished rock bottom at the start of the season.
Really?
I was like, Southampton.
Really?
Not even just relegated.
And Ward-Prowse will get a move finally.
Yeah, hopefully.
Who do you think Sean Dyche replaces first? Lampard, David Moyes, Jesse March?
TG Lampard. Say on this, he said on the stream on the weekend, didn't he? He said, Tom Garrett, he thinks Moyes will go from West Ham to Everton.
Yeah.
Oh, imagine the hatred he'd get.
Yeah.
Imagine you go to Everton, save them, relegate West Ham.
That's funny.
I don't think he would do that.
I don't know if he'd do that. It'd be funny if he did.
It's good drama.
The one thing I think is that March doesn't have like the experience of grinding out wins. That's the thing. I think Leeds are playing the better football out of all of them, but they're just inexperienced. Like they played better against Villa, lost, and that's happened a lot this season. So I think that could cost them. And maybe you look at maybe Dyche comes in.
Before we move on to the boot, who's the three that go down?
Southampton, Bournemouth are getting dragged into it and going down, and Everton.
Everton as well.
Southampton.
Then Arsenal become the best officially.
Yeah.
Longest running top flight.
I'm going to go Southampton, Bournemouth, and Nottingham Forest.
I think Forest might be all right.
Do you know what? They were in my bottom, I think, how long prediction last week. But
Morgan Gibbs-White starting to play.
I like that Brennan Johnson kid.
Yeah. Isn't it funny they buy all these players and the best players are the ones they already had?
Yeah.
You know, the thing who said that?
You did.
Thank you.
The thing with Forest, right, is that for ages, I was like, they put all these players, can they gel them all together? And if they can't, it won't work. And I think now they are beginning to gel them.
Yeah, so. I just can't say that Everton or West Ham will go down. I just, within me, it doesn't work. Like, I think. Do you know what I mean, though? Like, they actually are too big to go down.
Actually, it's so close to 2 points, isn't it?
But it's impossible to call.
Saints, Leeds, and Bournemouth.
By the way, we've completely ignored Leicester, who are below Leeds and have played a game more.
I think Madison.
No, but I think that's what it weighs on. If he's gone,
well, if he goes Newcastle,
no problem. Yeah, they have been awful.
Well, yeah, and they were so wasteful against Forest as well. Mm.
Well,
imagine if it's a three Midlands situation.
It leads up for an exciting second half of the season, doesn't it?
Yeah.
But now it's time to bring out the boot.
Now, before we actually pull out a new boot, remember yesterday we had the anonymous thing saying Neymar was not top 10 of his generation. Mm-hmm. I went to the mysterious guest and they give me 10 names who therefore go ahead of him from his generation. So,
was it Cal?
Yes.
I cannot confirm or deny.
You just nodded. The boot is anonymous.
Common Cal Freezy L. Hit us with it.
So, Rory, if you want to write down your unpopular football opinion whilst I go through this. So,
you utensils again.
We've got any...
Need a pen and paper. We've got paper.
Catch.
Caught it.
So, the anonymous person put Messi, number one. Actually, it's not numbered, he said. He made that very strictly clear.
Okay, yeah,
that's
fine.
So, Messi, Ronaldo, Suarez, Lewandowski, Sergio Ramos, Neuer, Thiago Silva, Benzema, Modric, and KDB are all better than Neymar.
I have two problems with that list. One, his name is not Lewandowski.
Lewandowski.
And two, Neymar is comfortably better than four of those.
Which four?
I think he's better than Thiago Silva.
Is he being disrespected just because he's a centre-back, though? He's done it all. So
I think Thiago Silva's probably top 10, but I think Neymar is a better player.
I didn't expect him to have that good of an argument when I first read it.
They are good players.
They are, isn't it? It's actually quite hard to say no.
I think he's got to be in that list, though.
Yeah.
What are your thoughts,
Neymar? Neymar above Thiago Silva.
Hmm?
And Ramos.
Yeah.
Neymar's in that.
But is that just because they're both centre backs and they're not as glamorised?
I think Thiago Silva and Sergio Ramos are the two best defenders of the last 15 years. But I think Neymar, like.
That front Neymar, MSN is people, the best frontline of our generation. That's unarguable.
MSN.
Yeah.
I mean, it's MSN. Neymar was quintessential to that front
three.
Who
misses out, though? You said the two best centre backs, they can't miss out top 10 for the two best of the generation.
I think Thiago Silva better than Thiago Silva.
Mm.
I think he's better than KDB.
Fair enough. Okay.
What do I do with my...
I think he is.
Don't put it in yet. We have to pull one out first.
Okay.
Interesting from Mr. Freezy himself.
The anonymous person.
Yes, anonymous Cal Freezy.
Go on then, mate.
All right.
Because whatever you say gets chopped up on TikTok and you take the blame.
Oh, and it's my opinion.
All right, this is an anonymous opinion.
Yeah, that's poor, that is. Mbappe will have a better career than Messi and Ronaldo.
Wow, that is outrageous.
I already think he's too far behind.
I think
unless he plays until he's, especially with a player like him where age will hit him. I mean, Ronaldo's done ridiculously to get to like 37-38 and still be. Mbappe won't get to that age still playing. He will not get even close on any metric.
I agree trophies. With you. I think whoever's written this is a very silly sausage.
I agree.
And I would hazard to say that it is the guy to my right.
Me? No. That wouldn't be me.
Really?
No.
Surely not.
I genuinely can't remember who that is.
You don't truly believe that, if that is you.
Yeah, just this That's is meant me. To be a thing that you believe in yourself, but is unpopular, right?
Yeah. So a guest have came on throughout the shows and wrote them in.
But it is suggested by someone.
That's abysmal.
Who do you think it could be?
I reckon it's him.
Do you reckon? I actually can't remember this.
I'll just Google some stats. It's not me. It's actually not me. Because the longevity of Messi and Ronaldo is...
Silly.
Silly.
Yeah.
But let's just look at all three of them at the age of 24.
So it is you.
No, it's not me. It's, I'm just look at looking at the money. Look, let's face it. Mbappe's not one of Ballon d'Or because Messi and Ronaldo existed. It's the same with Neymar. I know it sounds silly, but it's actually factually correct.
Yeah.
Okay. Because the longevity of Messi and Ronaldo made that other players couldn't win Ballon d'Or, which wouldn't normally happen in previous years. The longevity. Yeah. Do you see what I'm saying there?
But previous, yeah. There were elite players playing when Messi and Ronaldo hit the scene, and they immediately started winning Ballon d'Ors over those elite
players. I'm talking about longevity-wise. Like, Ronaldinho didn't have the longevity of Messi and Ronaldo.
No.
Yeah.
Okay. So Ronaldo at the age of 24. Appearances, 362. Goals, 132. Assists, 66. Messi at the age of 24. Appearances, 326. Goals, 197. Assists, 84. Mbappe at the age of 24. One World Cup. 363 appearances, 253 goals, 132 assists. If he continues at the rate, if he has the legs, which the way modern science, modern football is showing that players are playing later and later and later, if he goes on to play for Real Madrid, he potentially... I'm just playing devil's advocate. Oh,
I've just realised you forgot to put in brackets, he's my best friend on there.
I didn't write this. I'm just playing devil's advocate.
Do you honestly...
I think he'll score 91 goals in a calendar year? Probably not.
Mm.
Mm-hmm.
But...
along with like however many assists it was, like 45.
Yeah, but if you look at the stats of goal contributions, goals, assists, he's ahead of both of them at the age of 24.
What determines your career though?
No, but he's got a World Cup.
Mm.
He's going to win Champions Leagues.
Is he?
He's gonna leave PSG, and he might even win it with PSG this year with Messi in the form.
But is that not a risk in itself when he leaves PSG? Like, Messi and Ronaldo have already proven that. Obviously, Messi could do it in La Liga.
Only La Liga.
Ronaldo at that point in his career had spent a lot of it in the Premier League.
Yeah.
They've proven that they can do it. It's a gamble on Mbappe. Can he do it in the Premier League, La Liga? He probably can, but can he?
He's got a point. You only know until it happens.
He's done it on a World Cup stage.
Put it this way, right? This season...
Twice.
Yeah, but the World Cup... like
top goal scorer at the last World Cup won the World Cup previously. Yeah, but
it's the World Cup.
It's two World Cups in a row!
Yeah.
He's sat in the best team by far in one of the poorer Europe leagues.
I never rate people like that much on World Cup performances, personally.
James Rodriguez.
Yeah.
I mean, he built a career off a World Cup performance.
Yeah, that's fraudulent behaviour. But Mbappe also does it in Champions League against the best teams in the world.
Yeah.
To exceed the greatest... So basically you're saying Mbappe will be the greatest footballer of all time. That's what this sentence says.
I didn't write this.
But whoever wrote this... The phrase should be Mbappe will be the greatest footballer of all time
if he leaves PSG.
I think maybe at a ridiculous stretch you could say Ronaldo. Don't think, because even Messi's even got the World Cup, so you won't even be able to use the...
Well, Mbappe's got a World Cup.
Well, yeah,
no, but that's what it means.
Not a thing you can't.
And Mbappe's going to win two World Cups.
Well, maybe, but yeah,
Mbappe could win three World Cups.
That is good.
Also, you can forget in as well, Mbappe is also going to become the all-time World Cup goalscorer.
He will be, yeah.
Maybe.
Barring injury.
Does that make him...
You're forgetting, lads. I'm not... write this, but the ceiling on Mbappe, what he's already achieved at such a young age, what he can achieve, is, if you deep it, it's actually quite nuts.
Here's a question for you.
It is.
Here's a question for you. Is Miroslav Klose the greatest footballer of all time?
I'm not saying, but Mbappe's doing it. Klose doesn't have the stuff Mbappe's already got at 24.
No, he doesn't, but...
I'm saying Mbappe to become that, or that on top of other things, whereas Klose just has that. I'm playing devil's advocate here, lads. You're going to see players.
Can you reveal this next week as to who this was?
I don't think you're going to see a longevity of Messi
and
Ronaldo.
I'll try and find out. There's been a lot of submissions, so I'll try and track that one down.
I don't think you're going to see the longevity of Messi and Ronaldo at the goal scoring. No, you can say Modric and whatnot, but it's levels to the game. But if anyone is going to do it, it could be him.
I just think it's the Ligue 1 thing. Like this season, Balogun and Lacazette are in the top five scorers in Ligue 1.
Mbappe does it in the Champions League and on World Cup stages. Like, come on.
Well, they might. If Arsenal are
qualified. Well, Messi's playing Ligue 1. You're saying, look at Messi's seasons here. Wow. But Mbappe's doing it. Everyone's like, Ligue 1.
Yeah, but Messi's done it the other way.
Yeah, but we're talking about this season. Everyone said, look at the seasons Messi's having. Wow.
But he did. He got 91 goals in the calendar year, and probably one
But everyone's saying
point.
I'm talking about this season specific. Yeah. Everyone's going, wow, look at Messi's season. Wow. But then you're saying Mbappe this season. You're going,
yeah, but it's Ligue 1. It's slight different.
No.
But you know what I mean, though. But still, you're looking at the season.
Mbappe's in his, what you'd consider probably his prime.
He's not even in his prime yet.
He might be. Plus, you're gambling on Mbappe not having any sort of terrible injuries.
Yeah, well, at the pace he plays at, he's looking like a solid ACL at some point.
He's ripe for an ACL.
Well, so come back next week and we'll reveal who wrote that next week if you listen.
Does his name rhyme with Fumio Maker?
Oh, sorry for playing devil's advocate. But yeah, we want to fucking disagree and end the conversation.
No, that was a really good discussion. Yeah, I enjoyed it.
I'm going to get hate for that. But if you actually deep it, what I'm saying is actually quite true.
I think you're right. I think once Ronaldo and Messi leave, everyone will look for a player to love again. It'll be Mbappe.
Once you look past Messi and Ronaldo and like all the fucking blindness of love, which I get, what I'm saying is actually quite true.
I want to find out if it's not him, who is this?
Yeah, next week,
No one else holds Mbappe opinions to this degree apart from Theo.
Yeah.
That's my only query with it.
I'll hunt it down.
Do you know what I mean?
I'm intrigued to see who it is.
Because if it's not you, we need to get this person.
It's Mbappe himself.
I personally think that
Messi and Ronaldo will not be beaten ever.
Oh, good.
But if someone is going to do it, if you look at the stats that Mbappe's already got, it's him.
Mm.
But look, shoot me.
Boot.
They will. Anyway,
okay.
Common Theo Dub. Right, prediction recap, please. Where are we currently?
Does mine need to go in that boot?
Oh, yes, it does.
Your boot.
Oh, you're taking the whole.
Sorry, I ripped it.
Little boat.
It's a boat. Yes. Where are we? We're halfway through the game week, though.
We are a little bit.
Well, we're going off all the predictions you've given me from the past weekend, and obviously Theo.
Don't say mine because I know I got like one.
Reeve, you built yourself a lead after Theo missed a week.
Yeah, it's horrible.
So let's start off with yours, Reeve, shall we?
Mm-hmm.
You got 3 points, mate. It was a bit brutal.
Yeah, I was. Do you know what? I was one goal away on 3 fixtures from a perfect score.
Can we just say, by the way, that if I do end up beating you, I've beaten you and missed a game week. I've given you advantage and I'm still beating you.
Yeah, but I came back from 14 points at one point.
It doesn't mean anything.
It does mean.
It just means you're shit at predictions.
Well, Mr. Baker, I can tell you got 7 points.
Currently. Game week's not over yet.
Oh yeah, so yeah. We're both currently. Yeah.
So currently the leaderboard stands, Reeve leading on 81 points. Theo Baker, 1 point behind on 80.
And I missed a week. What have I got right so far?
So you got correct results for Chelsea, Crystal Palace, Newcastle, Fulham game, Spurs, Arsenal, Brentford, Bournemouth. And then you got the correct scoreline for the Manchester derby.
Yeah.
Mm. So what are the predictions that they've got left for this game week?
Oh, I'd have to look back on that.
I've got them right here. The predictions we got
what
left.
What are they?
Palace United and City Spurs. Yeah.
I've gone for 2-0 Man United against Palace and 2-1 City versus Spurs.
3-1 Man United Palace, 3-0 Man City versus Spurs.
So it's all down to
who's
going to
do the Spurs
same results, just different scorelines.
I think it's going to get a bit nasty as we head into the end of the season, and it's actually close.
The
Someone's
more I deep
do
it.
It,
the more we've rinsed Spurs, the more I can't show my face in that stadium.
Imagine the video, the pictures, the video of you in the stadium, man. Oh,
it would be late.
It's full kit. Full kit Spurs tour.
And shin pads.
Astros.
Shin pads, boots.
Astros the lot. Right. Yeah. To end the game, we've got name the player quiz.
Ooh.
Lewis will name a player's club career from start to finish and we will buzz in to guess what player we think it is. Buzzers, please.
Buzzer noises.
Mbappe.
Martin.
Pigeon.
Okay, you can't guess again until everyone's guessed. Let's get into it. First one, Manchester United. Crew, Alexandra. Leicester City.
Oh, I know who this is.
Birmingham City.
Huh?
Blackburn Rovers. This is past and present, by the way.
Oh, okay.
Derby County.
Canal.
Brighton on loan. And then Stockport. Class of 93, this guy. So that's your clue.
Me. Mbappe. Nicky Butt.
No.
Oh.
Decent guess, though.
Oh, no. It's Robbie Savage.
Yes.
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 Yeah. Yes.
How dare you call him Class of 93?
Well, he was, technically.
Was he?
On a technicality.
He was at Manchester United in 93.
Yeah, Manchester City, wasn't it?
Yeah.
That's a I want your buzzer noise the next time, mate.
Proud of you in that one. You're doing great.
Before my
muscular as well.
Okay, second one. Lech Poznan, Legia Warsaw, Arsenal.
Oh, Saka, Podolski.
No.
Oh.
Arsenal, Swansea City, and West Ham United.
Pigeon. Lucas Fabianski.
Yes.
Yeah, oh, great. Cool. Great, cool, great, cool. I'm mind blank. My head's all over the place with the Mbappe thing.
Oh, Jesus Christ. How do I pronounce this?
You're doing all right, mate. Don't worry.
Chemnitsa FC.
Jesus.
FC Kaiserslautern 2. FC Kaiserslautern main team. Bayer Leverkusen. Bayern
Munich. Wait, so was that the last one?
You buzzed in.
No, what did you say? Bayern Munich?
Yeah, I did.
That last one, Bayern Munich.
Yeah, I said Bayern.
Yeah, he did.
Fuck. Philipp Lahm.
No. Bayern Munich. Chelsea. And then Bayern Leverkusen.
Oh, Saka. Michael Ballack.
Boom.
Shout.
Good point there, mate.
Shout. I was going to say Havertz. Then he said Bayern Munich.
Yeah. Northampton Town to Newcastle United.
Jesus.
Few loan deals in there. Then to Peterborough United.
Oh, Saka, Tony.
Yeah.
Oh, good one there.
Oh, he's on
that was
fire.
Good. That's that was good. Say.
Manager's gone. 3-1?
I've been slapped in the face.
Leeds United, Tottenham Hotspur. A sneaky little loan move to Everton. Everton permanently. Burnley. Kaya Ispor. It was spread over two lines. And then Burnley again.
And then Burnley again.
So his Premier League career was Tottenham, Everton. Bit of Burnley in there.
Oh, no, don't worry. I didn't say my name.
Oh, it's not, is it?
I was going to say McNeil, but he's at Everton now.
Yeah,
that was my first idea. Pigeon. Aaron Lennon.
Good shout. Yes.
Quality, that is.
What a legend.
That is quality.
That was a good one.
What's the extra hard bonus question?
Extra hard bonus question. Another Leeds. And then to Tottenham. A little Watford loan. Peterborough United. Bristol City. Sunderland. All of these are loaned.
Oh.
Newcastle United on loan.
Oh, no. Tom Cleverley.
No.
Okay.
Newcastle loan, and then a permanent transfer off to good old Watford. Is that Tottenham for a long, long time?
Pigeon. Jack Colback?
No.
Can you read it through again, please? I got free roam on this one. No?
So Leeds, Tottenham Hotspur, then a loan moves to Watford, Peterborough, Bristol City, Sunderland, Newcastle, and then a Watford.
I know this book.
Permanent.
I know the answer. Just so you know, put the pressure on.
You know the answer, do you?
Yeah. I might not know, but I think I know it.
Will Hughes.
No.
Danny Rose.
Yes.
Okay. Oh,
well done, mate. You're so good at this game.
Thank you, thank you.
Good
it's
job,
first
guys.
First time he won. Guys, that is the end of the show. What have you done?
What have you done?
What have you done? Guys, if you enjoyed this episode, please be sure to drop a like and subscribe. Make sure you're rating us 5 stars on Apple Podcasts and Spotify. It really helps us out. Roy, mate, thank you so much for coming on.
You're welcome.
Pleasure, mate. Thanks.
Welcome back anytime. And we'll see you in the next one. Goodbye.